I was learning a lot, but I was not getting rewarded with much money. I mean, I was making maybe $2,000 a month, which again, I saved up a lot, but you know, it got to the point where I was like going into 2018 and I was like, I have to figure something out or I'm going to have to like go back to a job. And like that to me was my biggest nightmare. It was good though. I learned a lot. I was playing a lot of golf and pursuing my passions. And I just kind of started really getting into a lot of personal development. And I really realized that I needed that because entrepreneurship is really just one big personal development journey.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Hustle to Freedom podcast, where I show you that you don't have to be a natural born entrepreneur to build a business that gives you time freedom, location freedom, and financial freedom. My name is Ryan Helms, and in just 27 months, I paid off over $209,000 in debt, quit my 9-to-5 job, and started building my dream business that scaled to six figures of income in less than 6 months. And on this podcast, I'll be sharing exactly how I did it and bring on some awesome guests that are either doing it or have already done the same thing. So if you're a freedom chaser and you want to fast track that process, this is the podcast for you. And also, be sure to head over to gritandhustle.co to grab your free copy of the Side Hustle Journal. But for now, let's hop in to today's episode. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Hustle to Freedom podcast. And as always, I'm trying to bring you guys awesome guests, and today will hopefully be no different. He will be the one who lets us know that. So we're going to be introduced today to Mr. Michael Leonard. Michael, from what I know about him, which isn't much at this point, he seems to have a really cool backstory. And I want to hear about that. And then I also want to hear about the business model that he is following and pursuing. Because from, like I said, the little that I know about what he does, and he'll share more about that, it is very accessible side hustle for people to get into and leverage. So I'm super excited for you guys to hear how he is taking something that is a skill that I won't say a lot of people have, but I mean, a lot of people can do what he does. And I'm sure there is a path to follow with how he did it and grew this business. So I'm super excited to jump into that. And I know I said a lot, but did not say much at all. So with that said, Michael, thanks so much for coming on the Hustle to Freedom podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it. I love what you're doing.
Thank you, man. Thank you. So give us a little insight into, we don't have to unpack everything right off the bat, but give us a little insight into kind of who you are and like, what do you do right now? And then we can kind of rewind the tape and kind of get back to it.
Yeah. So right now, so I'm a full-time writer and writing coach. So I help people build online writing businesses so that way they can get paid to write about their passion. So this all kind of started for me about a little over 3 years ago, just hit the 3-year entrepreneur anniversary.
Nice. So if you help people with writing, did you always consider yourself a writer?
It's a great question. And 100% no. I wasn't really a reader, wasn't a writer. I mean, other than like Harry Potter books, I was not a bookworm in school whatsoever. I went through the motions in college. I never really saw what the point was. And so for me, it all kind of happened after I graduated and got into the real world. And I did the 9-to-5 thing, climbed the ladder for a few years. And I was like, man, there's just got to be more out here than just working for someone else and doing the same thing over and over again until I'm 65. And so the way I got started with writing is I was a personal finance geek. I was trying to figure out how I could retire as early as possible. So when I was 27 years old and I'm Googling how to retire early, you know, you probably aren't in a career that you want to be in. And so that kind of led me down a cool path though, because I learned about money management, stocks, investing, and different things like that. And eventually at like every happy hour at work or any type of event, I was always talking to people about their finances because I was trying to like figure out what people were doing. And so eventually one of my directors at work had kind of liked what I was talking about and was like, wow, you really have a lot of financial literacy here. Like, did you go to school for this? I was like, no, I just learned it all. Like, I really wanted to just kind of figure it out on my own. And so she's like, you should start a blog. And so I didn't really know about blogging at all. And so that was kind of the end of 2015. And so January 2016 was the start of a blog that I first had that was helping millennials with personal finance. And so that was kind of how I got my start in the writing world. So only about a little over 4 years ago since I hit publish on my first post.
Nice. So what kind of industry were you in? Like what kind of field was your nine?
Yeah, I was working at Yelp.com. I was doing different, I started as an account manager and then kind of worked my way up to a top sales rep over about 6 year period. And so, you know, in your 20s, it was really fun. I mean, we were working with a very young crowd. We had, it was a pre-IPO, and then it kind of happened all in the first few years. So we had a lot of growth, and it was a great place when you're graduating college. I mean, we had kegs and different ping pong tables. I mean, it was like the true tech startup. And so it was fun for a while, but eventually I was like, man, I want something more for myself and my future. And for me, it wasn't about finding another job. It was about creating my own destiny, and always had that entrepreneurial spirit inside me.
So you said it was beginning of 2015 you hit publish on the first one?
Beginning of 2016, January 2016.
2016. Yeah. So as much as I know about the blogging space, it kind of seems like you got into it late, right? Like as far as like the blogging as a popularity type, you know, thing, right? Would you say that's correct?
100%. Very late. I was probably had thought about it for a year, but I was just so stuck in my job and ways of thinking that I just kind of sat on the sidelines and read about it. And I was trying some other side hustles as well. And for me, like 2015, I just was like, okay, before I quit my job, I should like figure out what I really want to do with my future, with my life. And so I kind of call that my passion year. I just tried to do all kinds of stuff. So I joined an acting class, and I'd never done anything like that, but I really loved movies and Hollywood. And so I joined an acting class. I started playing golf again, which is something I did my whole life and played in college. And so between kind of just experimenting and trying all kinds of business ideas and passion projects, that's kind of when I realized I really liked not so much writing, but really just helping people. I loved helping people with their finances. I was balancing 401ks at lunch because like I just was so excited about it. I wanted to help people have more financial freedom and stuff. And so that's kind of where that teaching side of it kicked in. And then I just kind of kept going from there until 2017 when I ended up leaving and put the 9-to-5 in the rear view.
So walk us through what was going through your head then, like what type of position were you in? Like, I mean, were you like rolling in money at that point from your blog? Like kind of walk us through the mindset and the thought that went into like exiting your 9-to-5 and going into this full time.
Yeah, it's a great question. I was definitely not rolling in money from the blog. I always joke. I think that when I quit, I had made about $200 from my blog, and I was making a comfortable, you know, six figures, right around 100K. And the sales job was not a challenging job for me. I mean, it was something that came pretty naturally, and so to leave a very safe, secure job when you had no real income coming in. A lot of people thought I was crazy. Part of me did too. The one thing I did do was I had a good safety net. I saved up a lot. I slashed cost. You know, when I bought a house, I got a mortgage that was so cheap that I said I could work at Taco Bell and still pay the mortgage. And so that was kind of my thing was like, as a personal finance background, I was like, all right, I just got to slash costs. And that way I can get out there and I don't have to have much overhead and I can give myself some runway to figure it out. So yeah, when I quit May of 2017, I'd made about $200 from my blog.
When, like how long, so you quit your job and you're like focusing on this full time. And you know, it's an interesting thought experiment because it's been about 11 months now since I quit my job. So coming up on a year. Nice. So what did that first year look like for you? Like once you transitioned into this full time, like was it, I guess my big question is, how is it different than what you thought it was going to be like?
It was night and day. Yeah, it was a lot of fun sometimes, mixed with like kind of a living hell as well. So just to give you kind of a background, when I left, I had two goals, and it was to build an online business because I was seeing so many people that were doing it. They were not only making money online, but they were really impacting others with different blogs or YouTubes or podcasts, whatever it was. And so I wanted to have kind of a personal brand business like that. And it's changed a lot over the years on exact the niche and things like that. But I wanted to do that, and I wanted to pursue professional golf. And so trying to pursue a professional sport when you're 29, again, most people think you're kind of weird and like, hey, like you need to think about like the real world and stuff. And so my whole thing was I never wanted to end up with regrets. And so I went all in. And so the first year was like trying to figure out how to become a professional golfer while trying to build a business. And I always joke that they're the two hardest things you could do at once. And so the first year, it was fun the first few months, you know, not having a boss, not having to go in anywhere. I remember my girlfriend, the first Monday she went into work and I'm just sitting there. I'm like, oh man, like I did it. I really got to figure this whole thing out. And I didn't have any friends that were entrepreneurs. I was just kind of me and reading a lot of blogs, reading a lot of books, just trying to figure this whole thing out. But for the first 7-8 months, really the entire 2017, it was very unsuccessful financially. I mean, I was learning a lot, but I was not getting rewarded with much money. I mean, I was making maybe $2,000 a month, which again, I saved up a lot, but you know, it got to the point where I was like going into 2018 and I was like, I have to figure something out or I'm going to have to like go back to a job. And like that to me was my biggest nightmare. And so it was good though. I learned a lot. I figured out a lot. I was playing a lot of golf and pursuing my passions. And I just kind of started really getting into a lot of personal development. And I really realized that I needed that because entrepreneurship is really just one big personal development journey to me. It's kind of figuring out what you're made of, who you want to be, what you can handle. As you know, after the first year, there's a lot of ups and downs. I mean, most people think about entrepreneurship as this, you know, easy, not, I don't want to say easy journey, but you know, it's a laptop income and traveling and freedom. But there's a lot of things behind the scenes that most people don't know about. And so I got humbled very quickly. And I'm super excited about it because I really thought it was going to be easy. I could start freelancing. My blog was just going to be this passive income stream and I would have it all figured out. And 3 years later, I'm still figuring it out. And I think I always will be. And I think that's really the trait of an entrepreneur that wants to make it is just keep adapting. And so first year was not easy, but I learned a lot about myself and really just took a lot of those lessons and just keep using them. And now I feel like I went through a lot of the things I did to share them with others, like on this podcast, on my podcast, just to help others kind of go through it because I really just was trial by fire.
Yeah. So looking back on that first year, right, you didn't make a ton of money. What do you think you could have done differently that would have had a different, I mean, you're 3 years into it now, so you know a lot more. Like what, like if you were in that same position, like say 6 months after you quit your job, like what could you have tweaked to like really like took it to the next level much quicker?
Yeah, it's a couple of different things. I'd say the first thing was like having a clear income stream. And so mine was like kind of, I was trying to blog. Was it affiliate income? Was it creating online courses? Was it Google ad revenue? I mean, I was just trying to do like so much. And that really continued even after the first year as well. But I would say that was one of the biggest things, just trying to do too much. I really wasn't an expert in anything yet. And I was just spread way too thin. And another thing was just horrible time management. I mean, when you're in a 9-to-5, you are supposed to be there a certain time. You leave at a certain time. You always have someone checking in on you, have accountability. When you become your own boss and you're working at home, you can do whatever, whenever. And I did that for a while. And eventually, though, I just realized I had such horrible routines and it just led to so much inconsistency. So that was a really big thing for me is like kind of figuring out when my prime time was and working on bigger things, hiding your cell phone, things like that, just because I was constantly like checking inboxes, checking texts, and then trying to like do deep work and it just didn't really work. And so I would say those were two of the things. And I really would have found a mentor a lot sooner too.
Yeah. So at what point do you have a mentor now?
Yeah, I'm in James Wedmore's. He's a digital entrepreneur. And so I'm in his coaching program and been working with him for a little over a year now. And so it's a community. There's not only him, there's about 10 other coaches in there. But that's really when I started to find a lot more success. And I started to have different coaches and mentors really to start 2018. That was kind of when I was like, all right, like, we got to change it up. And so for me, I went all in on freelance writing. I said, blogging isn't working. I'm spending all my time for literally nothing, pretty much. I had landed a few freelancing gigs and I was like, I feel like I can actually make consistent income this way. And so, yeah, to start 2018, I joined an online mastermind. I got a few courses about freelancing and I spent like 90% of my time all about that and really like going into it and understanding what it takes. And I found success pretty quickly comparatively to blogging for a lot less hours and a lot more money. But yeah, a lot of that came from just picking the brains of people that I was working with and just learning from them instead of trying to figure it all out on my own like I was with blogging.
Yep, for sure. Now, when you got into more of the freelance side of writing, like how did you find clients?
Yeah, all kinds of ways. That's one of the things I always tell my students is there's really no one way to do it. Some people say you have to do this or you have to do Upwork, you have to do job boards, you have to cold email. to be honest with you, I think it really just comes down to the fundamentals of how you pitch clients and figuring out what you're really good at writing about and what you want to write about. So for me, I've probably landed clients 10 different ways, from in-person networking to cold emailing to cold calling, to job boards, Upwork. I mean, that's the cool thing, is there's a lot of different ways out there. But to me, the biggest thing is figuring out what you want to write about and becoming really kind of an expert. And a lot of people just feel like they want to write about this, they want to write about that. But it's like, when you really become an expert in your niche, then people will start to see the quality of your work. You can charge higher rates. It's easier to get clients. And so for me, when I got started, I used my personal finance background. And actually, one of the first ways I got it was reaching out to local financial advisors in the Phoenix, Scottsdale area who had blogs. And just let them know that I was local, would love to help them out with their content, and just basically cold emailed. I was doing 20 to 50 emails a day, and that kind of just helped me get my start, and really haven't looked back from there.
That's awesome. So when you cold outreach to these people, like, what is your offer? Like, hey, I'm going to write a blog post for you. Like, that doesn't sound super appealing. Like, so how do you position it?
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of simplified it there, but it really is just figuring out, like, you know, a lot of people already have consistent content, whether they need email marketing, they need blog posts, they need lead magnets, they need stuff for their website, different pages, things like that. And just let them know, because a lot of entrepreneurs and businesses are like having assistants do it, or maybe they're trying to write, and like some people just aren't good at it, they don't want to do it. And so, yeah, basically just let them know, hey, I'd love to help you create better content. Because they were pretty much like consistent. You know, you can see, hey, they're publishing every week, or you join their email list, you can see what kind of stuff sending out. So it's really just kind of interjecting yourself in there and saying, hey, I'd love to help you out. I'm a professional writer. You know, I can get the job done a lot quicker. I can do 4 posts at a time, things like that. And so, yeah, I just say the biggest thing is to just make it easier for them, and really show how you can help them grow their business. So for a lot of clients, it might be they really want to get SEO rankings, and they want to rank higher for certain terms. So you can talk about different ways that you've been able to do that for other clients and give them some strategies and things, because a lot of clients have no idea how to rank in Google and different ways like that. So it's just figuring out what kind of value you can provide and customizing it to each client, because no two people are the same. Some are very savvy, some are not at all. So it's just kind of working with them to make their life easier.
Yeah. Now, when you started to get some traction, you did some cold outreach, a bunch of other methods as well. Was there ever a point where you kind of had like that hockey stick growth where like things were going and then like, oh, bam, like something like clicked, like something happened where I really started to get some serious traction? Was there ever a moment like that?
Yeah, I mean, really, I think the first month that I started, I made $650. I was doing it. I was still doing part-time. I still was stubborn and trying to blog and golf and do 19 other things. And so the first month when I really said, okay, freelancing is my thing, I made $650. And then 12 months later, I made 10 times that. So I made $6,500. And I was only spending about 15 hours a week on it. So that was pretty cool for me when I really like looked back on the year and I was like, wow, like I actually was able to 10x my monthly income from writing, working on a part-time basis. And so while it still wasn't as much as I was in a 9-to-5, I was doing it from my home. I was hanging out with my dog, playing golf any day of the week. And that's when I really just started to realize that there's a lot of potential here. And so I really doubled down in the next year. I was able to pretty much double the monthly revenue from there and just have some crazy numbers. Some months, you know, higher than others, depending on different projects and things like that with clients. But yeah, I'd say that was probably the biggest one that really just made me realize, like, whoa, I don't have to go back. I have a skill that can basically save me from going back to a job for the rest of my life.
Yeah. So when you look at going from $650 to $6,500, like, was that, if we look at that and like slice it up, was it just getting like 10 times more clients, or was it getting more clients and like exponentially increasing what you charged?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually both. I mean, that's what I always kind of say to people I'm working with for that want to be writers, is like, there's really only two ways to do it. You can get more clients or you can raise your rates. And so one of the biggest things when I got started, I was probably like May of that year when I had a hot seat call with one of my mentors, Benjamin Hardy, who's a top writer or the number one writer on Medium. And he's like, double your rates. He's like, just try it. He's like, I can tell you're committed. He's like, you're charging too low, which, you know, means you're going to have to spend more hours doing these smaller tasks. He's like, just pitch new clients and double your rates and see what happens. He's like, only a couple of things are going to happen. You're either going to get the job and it's going to be great. You're going to not get the job and they're going to say, oh, it's too high, and you might negotiate in the middle. Or you're just not going to get it. And really, there's no harm, no foul. And so that's when I really realized that a lot of writers undercharge and try and compete on price. And so that's never going to be the way to scale. I mean, we only have so much time in the day. Writing is an extremely creative task. It's not something you can just bang out 8 hours a day every day. So for me, it really came down to ditching clients that were maybe paying late or content I wasn't interested in. So shuffling the client roster around, charging higher rates, and maximizing my routines. The faster you can write, the more money you can make. And so that was a big one for me. And just learning different routines from trial and error about writing, editing, just kind of batching up tasks was also a big thing.
So one of the things that we've had to do, as you know, in the past year and a half that we've had our agency, is like you, we started out charging too little, right? And then we've had to have some, like, you know, really awkward conversations with, because like we keep clients, you know, we've had many clients for over a year at this point. And we kind of get to that point where like, yeah, kind of like what we were charging you, like we're like double that now. So like, let's work something out because we don't want to do it for that much anymore. Did you ever have any of those conversations when you decided to like increase your rate?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I always tried to find new clients before letting one go. There were some where I just knew it was time to end, whether it was paying late or they had a lot of edits, or you don't always have a good rapport with every client. And so, sometimes you're going to have those conversations. And so just kind of going into it and being like, if they ask why or what's going on, it's like, hey, you know, I've been upgrading my skills. I'm constantly learning. I'm investing in myself. I know my worth in the marketplace. And just communicating it in an honest way, not being like shady about it, and just being 100% transparent with them. And I feel like for the most part, I really didn't have much. And again, sometimes clients I really just wanted to keep working with, I was able to kind of go in the middle instead of going all the way to the new rate. Just because, again, I had a good relationship with them, I could pump out content. And it was stuff that I liked having my name on the internet. So for example, I got started with a lot of golf writing, kind of as a second niche. And so now I've done so much golf writing on the internet. When you type in golf writer on Google, I'm on the first page. And so like certain clients you work with, you know that kind of like what the end goal is. It's not always money. It could be exposure, getting in new publications. And of course, you know, always just wanting to help people with your content.
Yeah. So at what point did you go from like, hey, I'm just going to be a freelance writer to, hey, now I'm going to like help people do this as well? And like, I think you have like a course as well, right?
Yeah, it was right around the 2 year mark. People were like, whoa, you really did it. Like I had so many friends that were like, didn't really know how to make money online or freelancing, blogging. I self-published a few books as well. And so they made like, I don't know, $1,000 or something like that. So I was able to do kind of all different things, and people were eventually just like, how did you get out of here? And so they kind of wanted help. So after eventually just like enough people were asking for it, I basically just kind of created a program to help them get results a lot faster than I did, and just avoid a lot of writing mistakes in general. Like I said, trying to blog, trying to write on Medium, trying to freelance write, self-publish. I mean, I was just doing so many things wrong. And so for me, again, I realized that to start my journey, the first 6 months, having that mentor, having those coaches really helped me out. And I love doing it. I mean, once I, you know, sign on a podcast like this or get on my own, I light up. And so I think that sometimes when you kind of figure out what you're put here to do, you just feel good about it. And I never felt like that when I was working in the 9-to-5, despite making more money at the time than I was then. But it was like, I never felt any joy. It was like, all right, I got the check, and now what? Like, so now it was just the ability to help people and to see them get results, and just knowing the ripple effect that it has on others. Because yes, it's just when you think about it, it's making money to write content, but it's like, well, that means more time with your family, more time to not sit at a job that makes you depressed, angry, sad, whatever it is, and just give you that freedom and stuff. And so that's kind of where I got started, is a few people just started asking for it. And I realized that you can't really just spend hours and hours with each person. And so I had taken a ton of online courses. I had done a lot of different learning experiences. And so I basically put together the best of what I've learned from others and my own journey to really put it to get people from that transformation that I had in a lot quicker time.
And how did you start to sell this? Like, I mean, you had the obviously the people that were asking you directly, but like, how did you start to like scale that up to make it, you know, more of another income stream as opposed to like a few dollars here and there?
Yeah, and totally. And when I got started too, it was like when I was a blogger, I started an email list. And so that was kind of the beginning of it. I had a few hundred people on my email list and it was kind of, they were following the side hustle entrepreneurial journey. And so that was kind of how I got my start. But yeah, I mean, the first few launches, I mean, I was barely sold one or two courses because I didn't know how to do that. That was like a whole new thing. And so in conceptually, it makes sense. It's like, hey, you just create this product and then people will buy it. But it's like, you got to figure out sales pages, webinars, Facebook ads, landing pages, like all this other stuff. And of course, just attracting your audience and having the right system set up and everything. And so that for me, even the first 6-8 months, I mean, I had people enrolling like here and there, but it wasn't consistent. I was still making the majority of my money as a writer, which was fine. I mean, it wasn't like I was just going to ditch writing tomorrow and just be just the course guy. And so I wanted to help people, but I had to figure out all that. And so that's really where working with different coaches and stuff to start, or kind of in the middle of 2019, I really learned the ins and outs of creating an extension model and having different programs for different prices. And yeah, just attracting my tribe, starting a podcast that basically is for freelancers and writers, stuff like that, just creating content that speaks to my ideal audience. And then also started to hire a team. And so I have a virtual assistant, I have an editor, and an integrator. So now I have a team of three other people that are helping me out. And so that was a big thing for me, is kind of figuring out like, where can I just spend my time where I only doing things I can do? Because for a while I was doing that solopreneur hustle, 18 hours, and I was just hitting burnout. And so I knew I needed to hire people, even if I didn't feel like I was ready. But that's really when I started to see the growth, is having people that could help me do all the other things and help me achieve that vision.
When you hired your first person, was it like, why the hell didn't I do this 6 months ago?
It was exactly like that. I mean, she actually is now my like number two. She was first started off as my virtual assistant. And I mean, I did everything. And I'm a person that's an overachiever. So I mean, whether I'm creating an image on Canva or I'm putting together a blog post, whatever I'm doing, I want it to look good. Like, I don't want to half-ass it. And so I spent way too much time doing so many things that other people could do. And so, yeah, as soon as we started working together, I was like, wow, I cannot believe it took me 18 months before hiring someone. And so, yeah, one of the biggest things I always say to new entrepreneurs is like, just outsource as soon as you can, just because there's so many people that are better at it too. It's like, not only was she doing what I was doing, she was doing it at a much better level. And I was like, wow. And that's kind of when I started to learn just the power of energy and just being able to only have so much energy every single day. You can't work 18-hour days and expect greatness in every single aspect of it. So that was a big turning point.
Was it difficult for you to, when you brought somebody on, even though you said that, you know, she was doing it better than you, she was doing it different than you as well, because she's a different person, having that like perfectionist personality, was that tough for you to be like, oh, like, can you, you know, not like being like micromanager and stuff like that?
Yeah, 100%. It still is. And I'm just like, man, I have just this, my dad's an entrepreneur. He has a huge business in like, he doesn't even know how to use the internet. It's like an old school, like, you know, man's business. And he has like 35 people working for him. And I still see him at 70 years old, still trying to do it all himself. And I realize I got that from him, and that stubbornness. And my mom's the same way. And so I just realized like how difficult that is for me to kind of just let go. And so I have a sign over here just says let go, just to like constantly remind myself, let go of yesterday, whatever happened, let go of just trying to be perfect and show up and do all these things. And yeah, having a team that was so cool, because you can reach more people, you can spend time doing just what you're really good at and do it at a higher level. But yeah, 100%. I mean, nobody teaches you this stuff in school, really, to how to run a personal brand business and outsource and do all this stuff. And so yeah, I mean, it's just kind of a learning curve. But for me, I think just having someone that we really resonated with, I just had a good rapport and from day one with her, and it's just been a continual thing. And so, yeah, my goal is just keep growing and having a team to help me with all the things that I'm not very good at or could still improve on a lot.
Yeah, that's awesome. So like, where do you see yourself going? Like, you know, if we were having this conversation a year from now, like, what do you think the business is going to be like?
Yeah, I think for me, the biggest thing is like finally in kind of like the probably like middle to end of 2019, I realized that I knew exactly what I was doing. And so it's just doing more of it. And I realized I go to a lot of seminars and personal development and business events. And I started to catch this trend. I always thought that I had to have like 7 products and do like everything on every platform. And I realized when I started to listen to like people like Amy Porterfield and Pat Flynn and James Wedmore, these people are just doing the same thing over and over and over again, just at a higher level, at a better level. And so that to me is, I want to be not in the same place, but doing the same thing a year from now. I just want to be doing it at a higher level. I want to have better products. I want to have the same product, right? Maybe one or two smaller ones, but for the most part, I really just want to be consistent. I think so many entrepreneurs try and jump around and do everything. I mean, for a while, that was me. I was trying to do an e-commerce business. I was trying to blog, podcast. Like, you can only do so much with your time. And so for me, I would love to just be doing it at a 10x level. I would love to have 10 size of my email list and 10 times podcast listeners and 10 times social media, like all that stuff. But I just want to keep doing this because I feel like that's really, I've found what I was put here to do, and that's to help others. And again, I just love sharing my journeys with it. The one thing I would say is in a year from now, I would like to have my side hustle, which is a golf brand. I would love to have that up as well. So pretty much, yeah, having nice. my brand is called Inspire Your Success. And so I'd love to have Inspire Your Success, just again, reaching more people worldwide. We have students on 5 continents now, which is cool. So we still need to get South America, and we'll have 6. I don't think Antarctica is going to happen. But yeah, I mean, I love helping others. And so yeah, just doing it bigger. And, you know, when people like first learn about me, I want them to be like blown away and be like, wow, this guy is really helpful. He knows how to help me get from where I am to where I want to be.
Yeah. I think what you said there was good about like doing what you're doing better. Like, cause there's the term that I always hear, it's called like category king, right? So like, instead of like always picking something new and being okay at it, like focus on one thing and become like that category king, that when people think about that, they think about you. And it can even be like within certain niches, right? There's subsets of all of these different niches. And like, what are you going to be like known for in the community? And if you're always changing, you're never going to be that.
100%. That was one of the biggest mistakes I made. You had asked, I guess I kind of mentioned it in the beginning, but yeah, I mean, having a niche and being a clear leader in that specific thing is so big. Because if you try and be everything, you're just not going to impact it, and then you're not going to make the income that you want. And it's just like, it comes from a good place, right? I want to serve, I want to help the most people, but you have to be known for something first before you really try and broaden your brand and be a lot bigger out there. You can't just be Gary Vee overnight, right? You have to kind of start something and really become an expert in it, and then can keep growing and collaborating to get more people from there.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's awesome, dude. So if people want to hear more from you and get into your world, how can they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have just a ton of content out there. One of the best places is probably my podcast. So that's Inspire Your Success. Again, a lot of freelancing and writing. We do 2 to 3 episodes a week. We do Monday with Michael. We do Writing Wednesday, and we do some Feature Friday episodes with other writers as well. So you can take a look at that on Apple. And then I have a training out there as well if people want to just learn how to get their first clients, because that's really what I find is the kind of holding most people back. And so if people want to do that, they can just go to inspireyoursuccess.com / training and just go through that just to get a little bit better feel of who I am, how I can help, and really just how to help you get started with landing clients.
Awesome, guys. So if you're interested in writing, whether you think you're good at it or not, most of us can write. And I'm sure that the good part is a skill that you can learn over time. So if this sounds like something you'd want to do or something you might be good at, definitely check out Michael's website. I'll link it down in the show notes as well. So Michael, thanks so much for coming on the podcast, man. And if there's anything ever we can do, let us know.
Absolutely, man. Really appreciate the opportunity.
And that's a wrap. I hope you all enjoyed that episode. Remember, you can find links to everything we discussed in the show notes below. And if you like this podcast and want me to keep bringing you great episodes each week, here are a few ways you can support the Hustle to Freedom podcast. First, take a screenshot of the podcast and send it to a friend who may like it. Second,
I'm doing a drawing for a free copy of the Side Hustle Journal for every 5 iTunes reviews I receive. So if you want a chance to win, leave a rating and review on iTunes or Apple Podcast and send me an email at hello@gritandhustle.co. Detailed instructions on how to do this are in the show notes below. Third, take your side hustle to the next level by implementing a sales funnel to turn your passive website visitors into paying customers with ClickFunnels, the number one sales funnel software in the world. You can get a free trial by going to gritandhustle.co/profit. And fourth, if you're interested in podcasting also, which is the fastest growing content medium in the world, head over to gritandhustle.co/podcastingmadeeasy to enroll in my course now. Until next time, keep hustling, my friends.